Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner speaking to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We're going to be thinking in this time together about eyes of understanding. You know, no matter where we are in the world, some of you are in India and Africa, some of you are in Australia and Europe, South America, Central America, North America, and the islands at the sea. No matter where we are, we need eyes of understanding. And our scripture for this time together is going to be found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Now, this time I'm going to be reading from the King James, the New International Version, and I have both of them printed in the bulletin that you'll be able to download off of the Internet. As a matter of fact, it's there as I speak. So, Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance for the saints, in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, as I said, usually I read from the New International Version, and I find it to be a pretty decent translation. But in this particular instance, I think that the people who translated the King James Version did a much more accurate translation, particularly there in verse 18. Because in the NIV it says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart, where the King James says the eyes of your understanding. Now I think I understand what the people were trying to do in the NIV, but you decide. The Greek word is dianoia that's used there. And that word means deep thought, mind, understanding, imagination. I do not see the word heart there. Now, I'm certain that the NIV translators were thinking of our inner heart and our inner being, but it's just too easy to get a little confused there. So I prefer the King James there by far. Let me ask you something. Have you ever passed by something in your home and looked at it in surprise? Oh, you knew it was there, but you just hadn't paid that much attention to it. Whatever it may have, it may have had great value to you, but you realized it just had not been utilized to the extent it could have been to your own benefit. Or let me ask you this question. Have you ever gotten, maybe in somebody else's car, they wanted you to drive and you got in their car, or maybe you've gotten a car, might not be a new car, but it's new to you, and you go someplace, and while you're gone, it gets dark. And you get in the car and you realize you don't have the slightest idea how to turn the lights on. Or maybe it's even daylight and you're going down the road and it starts to rain and you realize you don't know where the windshield wipers are. Now, all of these things are valuable to you. All of these things are necessary. All of these things are things that will benefit you. And there you are where they are, but you're clueless as to how to operate them. Or, as I said, you've been in your own home and there's something that has great benefit to you and you walk by it and you look at it and you think, well, how come I've never really paid any attention to that? How come I've never really gotten the full benefit out of that? Gee, maybe I'm going to start using that. Maybe I'm going to let that help me in the things that I want to do. This particularly happens, I think, sometimes when people have been away from home for a while and they come home and they see something sitting there, or maybe you've been away from where you work for a while and you see something sitting there and you think, why is that there? But you got so accustomed to it being there before that that you didn't think that much about it. There it was. My point being that sometimes there are things that are very valuable to us that we can employ to in order to carry out the functions that we need to carry out, that sometimes we just miss them. You know, this sudden awareness has certainly happened to me. You know, and it's happened to many people that I know. We find that in a moment we realize we hadn't fully benefited from something. Either because we had a lack of understanding, or we just hadn't attended to it. We hadn't paid attention to it. Maybe you found yourself, just as I, experiencing the same thing where Scripture is concerned. Oh, yes. We knew the Scripture. We'd memorized many of them, but had only viewed them from one understanding, you know, one perspective. You know, excluding. Maybe we had just excluded aspects which we, in our tradition, had not understood in their fullness. Well, the first verse in our Scripture, in Ephesians 1 through 18, says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints." Now, this may seem strange to refer to as the eyes of understanding. But once a person has become a believer in Jesus the Christ, it is clear that such eyes exist and are important in understanding spiritual matters. Now, think about it. Before you accepted Christ, before you heard the gospel, and maybe you had heard it before, but then suddenly it came to you, it enlightened you, because the eyes of your understanding grasped what it meant. And as a result of that, what did you do? You made a decision. And that decision changed and has influenced your life ever since that time. But now let's look at this. Let's see what we need to have the eyes of our understanding understand. This is the inner eye, which sees what the world thinks is foolishness because they're blinded to it. They can't see it. Now, in this, he talks about hope. The word hope here in the original means this: pleasurable anticipation. Pleasurable anticipation. Expectation, confidence, faith, and hope. The question then is, what was his, Christ's, calling? It talks about his calling. So what was his calling? Much of my life as a believer, my understanding of the words in this chapter and elsewhere meant I would be in heaven with Christ one day. Everything was out there in the great by and by. Sometime, I would somehow get mercifully through this life, and then everything would get better. Then I would experience the power of God in eternity. That's a tradition, and that's a problem. You see, then one day, understanding came to me from Ephesians. Understanding that I and all believers are already seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. That's what the Scripture tells us. We're already seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. He put all things under our feet. Now think about this for a minute. The Scripture says that Christ is the head. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the Scripture says? Christ is the head. And what are we? What are the believers? We're the body of Christ, are we not? Isn't that what the Scripture tells us? We're the body of Christ. Well, now think about this for a second. If Jesus went, when he ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, then the head is there, but the head is not a headless body. It's not just a head sitting there on the seat. The body is there with it, and that is what Paul is telling us there. We, the body of Christ, are seated in heavenly places with him. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm seated in heavenly places. Doesn't make any difference how you feel. The scripture says that you are seated in heavenly places. Now, if Christ is the head over the church, and this is what the scripture assures us, and we are the body, can you begin to get a picture about why all things are under our feet? Is not the feet a part of the body? It's not part of the head. It's a part of the body. All of those things, because we are the body of Christ, are for us to do as well that he did. And he said, greater works than these will you do. Those are for us. How many times have you felt like somehow you were not a part of the body, that you were out there floundering around all by yourself? There's only one reason that you could get to that point, and that is you haven't been in the Word. You haven't been reminded. Your mind has not been renewed to the point that you've been reminded that you are the body of Christ seated in heavenly places. You know, it's amazing because in our traditions we stress certain scriptures and we sort of just pass over others. This is one that's been passed over by many people. Traditionally, they just read that, well, that's all nice. But they always put it out there, well, Christ is seated up there, but we're not there yet. No, the Word of God says that we are seated there with him in heavenly places. And you say, how can that be? Because we are the body. He is the head. We are the body. We're there. You say, well, I look in a mirror and I can clearly see that I'm here. Well, of course you're here. Because his body is a... If you can grasp that it is miraculous that when you became a Christian, all things became new. Why did they become new? Because you became a part of the body of Christ. All things became new. You say, well, that was supernatural. Yes. And your being here and seated in heaven are both supernatural. But if the eyes of our understanding only see us as here, we must be very careful. See, we can begin to see ourselves as victim of the world and the world system, which we are not. Because all things were put under Christ's feet, and we are his body, therefore they are under our feet. Because our feet are his feet. Are you catching on here? Are the eyes of your understanding beginning to open? Are you beginning to see, whoa, as a believer, I'm really a part of something here? Because this is what it's telling me in Ephesians. So what do we do with it? What do we do with this when we find out that it's not all out there in the sweet by and by someplace? Might this affect what we say and do? Because remember, if we think we're just here in the world, we'll have a tendency to act like the world. Have you ever been to a mountaintop and looked down? You have a whole different perspective than you have when you're at the bottom of the mountain, don't you? You can see so much farther. You can comprehend, understand, get a vision of things. Or in an airplane, you can look down and you can see not one or two towns, but maybe 7, 8, 20, 30, depending on how high you are up in an airplane, you can see all of these different towns. A little different perspective from there, isn't it? We need to learn to live not only here on this planet, in the earth, but we need to learn to live in the heavenly places where we are seated with Christ Jesus. We need to understand that when Christ stretched out his hand and he said for people to be healed, they were healed, weren't they? And he said that greater works than these would we do. So when we reach out our hands, whose hand is reaching out? You see, because we're the body of Christ. It's Christ's hand that's reaching out. It's just simply using our earthly hands to accomplish his eternal heavenly plan. We're a part of that plan. My friends, you must, It is so important that you begin to grasp that you are the body of Christ. And that is not a dead body. He raised from the grave. There is no death in Christ. You see, we are the body of Christ if we're believers. Now, how do we build on this? How do we put ourselves in a position where we can understand, or we can understand this? Well, I'm going to use the scripture again that we're using in this message. Except now I'm going to personalize it for you. And I've written it out here in this bulletin because I want you to be able to see it and use it on a daily basis. I challenge you for the next 30 days to pray this prayer every single day for 30 days. Here's the word. Now, this is the scripture. This is Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. But now it's been personalized into a prayer. So pray this. I pray in the name of Jesus that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened in order that I may know the hope to which He has called me, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparable great power for me who believes. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for me, which is a part of His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Now I want you to notice something there, that the scripture says every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Well, that sort of takes the wind out of the idea that it's all going to be out there in the sweet by and by someplace, doesn't it? This present age and in the one to come. We have been taught by tradition that we will be seated with Him sometime. But the scripture here clearly tells us we are seated with Him in heavenly places. It's ours now in this present age as well as the age to come. Whoa. If you're not excited about that, if that doesn't trip your trigger, if that doesn't turn you on, if that doesn't make you go, man, I didn't realize that. Man, look where I am. Look at this. Then may I suggest to you that you definitely want to make sure you don't miss a day of praying this prayer, because the eyes of your understanding need to be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. That's why I have this written out for you. 30 days of prayer and watch what happens. I would say that most people have ignored this because they spend their life somehow trying to straighten out their own life. Oh, they turned their life over to Jesus one day years ago. But then they took it back and tried to run it themselves. We're the body of Christ, my friends. The eyes of our understanding need to understand what we have. Just as if you had gotten into a brand spanking new car, you needed to understand where the gear shift was, where the lights were, where the windshield wiper was, how to turn on the sound system, how to turn on the air conditioner, how the windows would go up and down and the seat go back and forth. Those are things you'd need to know, wouldn't you, in that brand spanking new car. When you come into a brand spanking new kingdom, those are the same kind of things you need to know. You need to know how to function in that kingdom. You need the eyes of your understanding so enlightened that you know that you know that you know the hope to which you have been called, the position in which you have been placed, and the authority that you have to carry out the will of God. The eyes of our understanding. That's my message for this time. Every day for 30 days, get serious. Make time. Carry this with you. Don't let it depart from you. Pray it every single day. I pray in Jesus' name that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened in order that I may know the hope to which He has called me. If you need to know more about this hope to which you've been called, send me an email, thesojourner@sojournershub.org. If you've never accepted Christ and you say, suddenly I'm seeing and I'm understanding something that seemed so foolish to me before, then you are being drawn by the Father, my friend, and pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus, and I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and my Savior. Open the eyes of my understanding. I turn from the other ways that I have followed, and I follow only that of Jesus the Christ. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Come into me now, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you're in. The eyes of your understanding will be opened because you've asked. And we know to ask this is within the will of God because it is in the Scriptures. If you've maybe been wearing some sort of spiritual sunglasses that's prevented you from having the eyes of your understanding enlightened, and you feel like maybe I should take off those things which have been hindering me and look clearly into the Word and seek God on this and understand what it is and trust Him, then you simply say to the Father that you're sorry, you've lost your first love, that you have had a change of heart, and you turn around and you're relying on Him to enlighten you through the eyes of your understanding. No matter what your situation, feel free to contact me, thesojourner@sojournershub.org. We'll be glad to help you. I pray this blessing on you now, and with that, this will conclude this broadcast. The blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.